It is a great privilege to be up here today and be among some very good friends. And I appreciate you being here. I would not be surprised if some of these nice people don't come in and stay for the singing and leave. Because it certainly is a powerful expression of genuine and sincere adoration of God. I've been eating meals with, in fact, all of these folks here, but not too much, have I? Yeah, a few times we go off and buy something and eat and things. But Brother Omar is a classic chef, super chef.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know who they were driving up in the dark, but I heard this voice that I should have recognized, this famous radio evangelist. He and I were both down there, you know, we were both radio evangelists, heard internationally. I didn't recognize the voice and said, "I'm here for some soul food." Well, Pike County, Alabama, that means one thing to me. And I said, "I just had mustard greens and black purple hull peas and cornbread. I've had soul food." He said, "That's not what I'm talking about."
I said,
He wants some for the real soul.
Amen.
I'm not sure but what he wanted it from the Holy Land, though.
Amen.
Yeah, he's bad to cook that kind of stuff. In fact, the only way I get to go to Israel now is to meet him and have dinner with him.
Amen.
But I'm certainly pleased to see all of you. And I do indeed feel like I've got to come back down to things and get over this spell. By the way, I never heard you do all that powerful singing before. I did not know about that part of you. You ought to get her, turn her loose sometime.
It's a good combination that God brought us together, Brother Ernie.
One that came
in. He sings and brings heaven down, and I sing and chase the devil to hell.
Okay.
He's already told Jesus I couldn't come.
Yeah. I was pleased that we started off singing about blood.
Amen.
That stanza, he breaks the power of canceled sin.
Yes. Amen.
Now, I'm pretty sure that fellow is Pentecostal because he sings that out and then he says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Yes.
And then he says his blood can make the foulest clean.
Yeah.
Now, sinners would just come to church and listen to the songs.
That's true.
And understand they could be forgiven.
Yeah, amen.
Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm not sure that I didn't read something into that phrase this time that I've never seen before. Because I've always thought the poet meant, once he forgives your sins, he also helps you quit doing it.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. But I'm not sure that it wasn't more than that. He breaks the power of canceled sin. A lot of people that know canceled sin follow them around.
Yeah.
Still stuck in their souls, in their own minds. He did say we needed to watch out for that. He wants me to get on with Malachi. I can see that. I don't know what he's trying to do. I'm not turned on and he's trying to make it work. Thank you. I'm sorry, brother. You got my attention. But if Jesus has the power to cancel,
amen, brother,
you and I don't need to drag it around.
That's it. Amen.
That's for us. Yeah. And right on there, there's power in the blood, so it will never lose its power from that wonderful young lady.
Yes.
The same for us.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I thought maybe I should be preaching on the blood of Jesus, but I'm in Malachi. I think that's what God has given me. I told the people last night something I'll tell those of you who are here. This is not one where I'm preaching 5 or 6, 7, 8 verses at a time and exposing it verse by verse. We have some subjects that we found in the book of Malachi, and we have to deal with those subjects wherever we find it in the book. So it's a little more complicated. For example, tonight, our texts are from 3 chapters. Malachi 1, 6, 2, 10 to 16, and 3, 5, and we could even add verse 6 of chapter 4. The subject is be kind to God's gift to the family. Or if you want to put it more bluntly, in the vernacular, don't mess over God's family.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Let's read some of these verses. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. We'll read part of it because this is the part that leads field to the family. A son honoreth his father. That should be an axiom. And a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. Have we not all one Father?
Yes.
Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, lest none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with a garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, I don't want to leave any of these words out, but I've read some of this before in another context in the lesson, but I'll read it all to you, even though only a piece of it has to do with the lesson. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Here's the phrase, the widow and the fatherless. And to turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Join me, please. Let's stand for a moment for a word of prayer. Father, you know that I am desperate to pray for myself. As I stand here before you, your messenger, and pray that I will be a true messenger from thy throne, wrapped up by you, kept from Satan and sin, kept from pride and self-interest, Father, kept from failing to present the truth you want said here tonight to the needs of the people you've gathered here by your own hands. May they hear in their hearts the word of Christ for their needs tonight under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, be with this community, this larger community, and may it be reached for Jesus Christ, brought home to him. And I pray for you for healing in our families, for the saving of those of us who've gone astray, and Father, for the preserving of those whose families are existing with some great deal of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse our hands and bless us for the future. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
We don't know the amazing effect for good would be done on this planet if we had universal commitment to Jesus Christ and live by the teachings of the Bible.
Right.
We don't know the heavenly results for the family. If generation to generation to generation, between husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, total commitment of every member of the family was made to Jesus Christ. But that all starts one person at a time.
Yes.
Can't get too frustrated because we haven't reached them all and don't seem to be able to reach them all, and that at no time in history Have we reached them all? We have to start one at a time. The onus is on me. The onus is on you. The onus is on us. If one committed person unites with one not committed, the glory begins to break down. If two are committed and good, and the teenager breaks down, the glory fades, and so on. So we have to work, though, with what we have. I was going to school down at Gulf Coast Hospital, and they brought in a psychiatrist for the preachers that would come. I noticed Brother Omar didn't come. He didn't think he was possibly going to be getting any help with that. The psychiatrist would have got some out of you, though. I can tell you. But I like what the brother said. He was an Episcopalian, but I think he had a lot of good sense, and maybe he was a Christian. Yes. But one of these guys threw out these check words that float around every once in a while in psychology. And he spoke out like he was really knowledgeable about it concerning dysfunctional families. And the psychiatrist looked us in the eye and said, all families are dysfunctional. What a relief that was for me. My daughter-in-law had told me we had a dysfunctional family. And it relieved me to know that everybody did. I was not alone in that particular part of the existence of this society. I guess he knew about the Garden of Eden. And the sin that got into the family and the mess that we've been in ever since, save for the coming of Jesus Christ and His precious blood shed for our sins.
Right.
We got to take it one person at a time. Then a series with dysfunctional, if I may use the word, unhealthy family is better off if it has just one godly soul than none at all.
Amen.
Malachi in brief says a lot we can apply to our families. Ruffling the family with a good church, we together with God as our Father, two are family as Christians.
Right.
As Brother Ike said, he and Leroy are twice brothers.
That's
a great thing to have. Have we not all one Father, all of us believers?
Yes.
Hath not one God created us?
Yes.
The New Testament connects Jesus and the church, and we should too, and I say amen to that.
Amen.
I get a few amens in this place.
Right.
I have to say it to myself most of the time in the churches where I'm preaching. Biological families should be a good example in the spiritual family.
Right.
We certainly get a better picture of how fathers ought to be by God the Father, and how husbands ought to be by Jesus, who himself calls the church his bride.
Right.
There are three basic relationships in the family that Malachi touches. Now, he touches some of them lightly, like the parent child relationship in verse 6. Now, several times he uses the word fathers in the passage. Three different verses have something of this in there. In verse 6 of chapter 1, verse 5 of chapter 3, and in verse 6 of chapter 4. The second of these gets an intense and larger coverage. And so you can expect more out of the preaching tonight from that second section on the family. And that has to do with keeping our marriage vows. Chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. And the third of the shoulds for the family, we can say, would be to take care of our widows and orphans. Verse 5 of chapter 3. First of all, we should have a proper relationship with our parents. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Father is mentioned over and over, as we said. Of course, the whole Bible has much to say about our relationship to our parents. Now, I've already preached a little bit about this, I think, last night, so I won't be bearing down on it so very much. But for some of us, all of our ancestors are gone.
Yeah.
I do not have a living parent, grandparent, great-grandparent. I don't have a living biological or even marriage, and an uncle left. I won the award, did I tell you all this? In the church father's day for being the oldest father inside the building.
Oh.
It absolutely upset my teapot. And I'm telling you what, I'm looking for an 87 or 88 year old man. I'm going to drag him. I'm about to bring him in a wheelchair to church. Next year, I'm not going to get that award again if I can have it. I'm without ancestors. All of our ancestors, for many of us, are gone.
Yeah, right.
But honor is still in the heart.
Amen.
And
amen.
That is to remain all of life. In Malachi 2:10, he makes us recognize a relationship to God our Father and Creator that forces us to see our accountability to all our sisters and all of our brothers. I only mention that, but brothers in family and brothers in the Lord, take it to heart. Did I hear you say something about that earlier on today? Hath not God created us all? We're not brothers and sisters to lost people, but we have a certain kind of kinship, at least biologically, because God in heaven created all of us.
Amen.
Right. And it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
Because he made everybody in his image.
Right.
He made everybody savable.
Amen.
To come to Jesus Christ. They are potential brothers and sisters of ours, and it doesn't matter. He can make the foulest clean. Amen. His blood avails for me.
Yeah.
Wow,
amen.
What a word from the poet. You would think all these guys were preachers, but if they were, they couldn't write poetry like that. It doesn't hurt to love all people, call them, and go see them, especially in your family. I'll give you the three basic points that are here in the scriptures about family. And that when it comes to the matter of parents, number one, we're to honor them always.
Right.
Period. Never stops.
Amen.
No matter how old you are and how long they've been gone. I'd like to preach on that. I cannot. I have to forego that. We are to obey them when we are children. That's a little bit qualified. There will come a time when once in a while you may have to say, Mama, I'm married now and I've got 3 kids and no, I can't do that. Exactly like your woman do, but Mama, I still love you. I honor you a lot.
Yeah.
And you can whip me if you'd like. Put one on my Mama, that wouldn't hurt anyhow. She really wasn't worth a flip at whipping somebody. Just no good at it. She meant well, she just couldn't do it. We're to obey them when we're children, and we're to care for them when they are infirm.
Amen.
Now, I'd sure like to preach on that.
Yeah, brother.
But I don't want you to know you're not supposed to avoid your accountability to your parents when they're infirm and can't take care of themselves.
That's right, brother. Amen.
I understand. Yes. I want you to understand that, because I may need to bend on mine one of these days. Sure, I'm glad I got one daughter. Not a house full of boys. That'll be a poor pittance, I'm pretty sure, to be taken care of. We are to care for them when they get old. It doesn't hurt, by the way, along with those great principles, to love them, call them, go see them once in a while. And may I add, wash the dishes after Thanksgiving dinner. That came back at me. I almost fell over the rail after hit so hard when you all reacted to that. I got a feeling that we got an awful lot of dudes in here that have never washed a Thanksgiving dish in his life. Melanie asked me a few years ago, she said, Daddy, I don't remember when we were growing up that you ever washed any dishes around here. And I said, that's close. I didn't. But I've been washing them then, and I've been washing Thanksgiving dishes ever since. And it's a mess.
Yeah.
Women use all of the pots they have.
That's right.
Yeah.
They cook one bowl of peas, they use 6 pots. I look at that mountain and I say, where do I start? And the voice comes to me, somewhere, anywhere. Just jump in there in the middle of it. All of these good things can be done, and some little things can be done to make sure that we're practicing what we know in our heart.
Amen.
You may leave and cleave, but honor your father and mother still stands. Don't mess over God's family. Be kind to God's gift to the family. Number two, we should keep our marriage vows. Now this is where I want to be gentle, but I have to tell the truth.
Yes, sir, brother.
I don't want to be offensive, because I know that the messes we're in, but we should keep our marriage vows.
Yes, sir.
I can't think of a higher view of marriage in the Old Testament that Malachi makes, except in Genesis, maybe, when the Lord declared Adam and Eve husband and wife. Our Heavenly Father had very high expectations for marriage and family.
Right.
Marriage, first of all, was marred by marriage to unbelievers. That's emphasized in chapter 3 and verse 1. In my youth, I don't hear this anymore. I guess I'm not saying it anymore. But I'm up here to say it tonight. In my youth, we were warned over and over against mixed marriages. Now, of course, we warn people against unmixed marriages in a way. But that wasn't what we were talking about back then. We're talking about mixed marriages between Christians and Jews, Jews and Hindus, and things like that.
Right.
Now, I don't know why I should say this or not, but we don't stretch this too far. You don't have to marry somebody that just likes you. I would be really shortchanged if you never didn't know any more than I do. I'm glad that she's different from me. Very, very, very glad. We have some limitations. You can be a Seminole and marry a Gator.
Oh, man.
Unless football is your God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
I'm serious.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's a cult up in Alabama that has to do with football. I like it myself. I have to admit that, and I pray over my own problem. But we can worship things other than in a mosque.
Right.
And worship the things that are wholly different. And call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. But if Jesus is not first, He's not God in our life. He's not the ruler over us.
Right.
The basic emphasis here is that you should have together a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ with the person you're going to marry. A real commitment.
Right.
Amen. Well, he's a Methodist. That's all right. Is he a devoted Christian? He's a Baptist. That's all right. No. Is he a devoted Christian?
Amen. Man.
Yes.
Exactly.
Serious about God. That's right. Life. It's critical. If you mess it up to start with.
Yes.
If you mess it up to start with by marrying poorly. And when the hormones are raging. And romance is on fire. People can just let all that cloud their mind. I guess it's when we talk about falling in love. People that have fallen are in a helpless position.
Amen.
Don't fall when you get in love. Got to stay upright and keep your head on.
Yes.
I'm not saying you can't be enthusiastic about somebody. That's very good. But please don't lose your mind.
Right.
I remember when Janelle came down the aisle of that schoolhouse where we were having a revival meeting. I was preaching in overalls with a little green bow tie on country night. We didn't really need to have country night where I was preaching. Every night was country night. But anyway, we had it. She came down that aisle and told me that was a good sermon. Whew! I couldn't wait to turn loose the next person who was coming to talk to run out in that hall where the floors, you know, one of those old log floors of the old schoolhouses, and watch her walk all the way down that hall and turn in the corner to go out the door. And I couldn't wait to find somebody who would tell me who in the world she was and where did she live. And does she have a phone? I was struck. But I do believe that the Heavenly Father was looking after me.
Amen.
And I do believe way down deep inside of me, more important to me than her beauty and her charm and her intellect and a wonderful personality was the fact that she was a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And was dead earnest about it.
Right.
I would discover that she'd been teaching Bible school and Sunday school since she was a teenager.
Amen.
Very faithful to Christ, singing in trios and quartets, and did I need somebody with me that could sing and do a lot of these other things? Please, please, please. You can have a very short marriage that seems to be very long if you marry the wrong person.
Yes.
You need to get it right to start with. Now, there's a lot of remedial stuff that can be done if we don't get it right.
Right.
They married what the Bible says here, strange gods. Mm-hmm. That is, gods that were not real gods. There were gods that people made up, set out there in front of them, and bowed down to them and worshiped them and expected something they made with their own hands to do something good for them. And they married these people, and why did they do that? Pretty good idea here that what they did, that these sorry, I'm getting close to cussing. These sorry rascal cussing. These men and Israel, these Jewish men, knew all of what the Bible said. They're going over here to this across the river of Jordan, going north into some other foreign land, down in Egypt, and they were marrying young women because their wives had gotten old somewhat, and they just discarded them. And the Bible says you are to stick with the woman that you made a covenant with in your youth. Be honest, we got to like it that way. I like the woman I'm still married to.
Amen.
I can tell you a lot about that, but it would not be nice for me to do that in front of her. Or you either. It wouldn't make good sense for me to do that. But you were to stick with that one that you married. You made a commitment to. That's the scriptures. Say that. And if you married the wrong one, you stuck with a mess.
Oh, boy.
Amen.
Unbelievers. If you married an unbeliever, if you can, stay put.
Right.
Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Well, I can preach about that soon, no doubt, and well, sometime. Just give him time. He can't help it. He'll get to it. But if you're not married, please understand that marriage to an unbeliever is a violation of God's will and for good reasons. Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's not only that God is displeased, but this adds to marriage to critical problems. Critical problem. Good marriages take a lot of loving patience and plenty of help from heaven. You don't need to start wrong to add that to it. So, number one, marriage is marred by marrying the wrong person to begin with. Nothing you can do but try to make good out of it if you do that.
That's right.
But nonetheless, if you're not married, young people, please think about it. Secondly, marriage is marred by violating the marriage covenant. Malachi 2:14-16, the Lord refused to accept their offering.
Yes.
They made these wrong covenants and they violated the covenants of marriage. Surely you have made many covenants. You made a covenant when you took that credit card out of your pocket and bought those shoes that do wear out in today's world, that you would pay that back sooner or later. Or at least the interest on it until you die and leave the problem to your grandchildren. But most of your children already have theirs maxed out. You made some covenants. I made three tremendous covenants in my life that I can remember. The most important one was I made when I trusted Jesus as my Savior and gave Him my life.
Amen.
That's a big one.
Amen.
Which was the second most? The second most important one was when I said yes. You can say yes or you can say I do, just three letters. If you want to really get elaborate on it, you can say I will. And what Janella started doing, she writes my marriage ceremonies now, and I started off with this little simple word ceremony. Do you, will you, yes, yes, yes. And Janelle started writing it over and over and over. I got one this long. I tell them, now look, we don't just do a double hitch or whatever it is. We turn it out over and over and over and over and over now. You actually have to go, one of these, we hope you pick it out and mean it.
Amen.
But it's a lifetime commitment.
Amen.
I don't know. There's no way I could possibly remember how many times I've stood in churches. I would say tens of thousands of people, literally, have heard me ask couples words like this. With this ring, I thee wed and pledge my life and love to you.
Yeah.
And to promise things like, till death do us part.
Amen.
Right.
Thousands of people have heard that. Tens of thousands of people. Amen. Hundreds and hundreds of them I have stood before me and have had them say those words. In most cases, in the house of God.
That's right.
Lots of people present. And of course, God always listening with His ears.
Right.
Amen.
A third of those commitments I made with my hand up like this, and I have sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America.
That's right.
On other occasions, I swore to uphold even the Constitution of the state of Alabama, which is so long that nobody knows what all is in it. And the third time, I made a commitment to uphold the Constitution of the state of Florida. I dodged a bullet in Puerto Rico. I went down there to become a chaplain for 2 years and stayed on their payroll for 5 years. But they forgot to swear me in. I'm going to have my scratch in my head. What in the world do these Spanish words mean in this Constitution? I'm glad they didn't ask me to do it. I would have done it. I would have to say yes to Spanish questions, I guess. Something I didn't even understand. But people, when I made those commitments, it was as if I was saying, I will do that or die trying.
Right.
Actually die before I will violate this covenant. But it was not nearly the most important of the three commitments, covenants that I made. The first was with God, the second was with my wife, the third one was with my country and my states.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
This is very serious business, and God holds our feet to the fire about it. He makes it very clear that He means this, and He reminds us that it was a covenant. Now, I understand that not everybody in the world has been able to stay in their marriage. You don't think I'm ignorant of that, do you? Goodness, I know better than that.
Right.
I went through a time when I could have gotten too depressed to function in Birmingham, Alabama. A big fine church where the people came in all nice clothes and drove off in good cars and all of those things. And 8 couples at one little short season in the ministry there were coming to me for counseling. 8 of those couples, my hands don't feel right in the ears to this day. How did I fail those people? And just like popcorn popping. 8 couples were broken up in marriage. Of those 16 adults, 1 couple had a mutual agreement that they wanted a divorce. There were 7 human beings who pled their case, did not want a divorce. They got a divorce anyway. They had no choice about getting a divorce. It was a travesty of injustice to them. The same kind of thing that was happening in Israel. When these men folks were discarding wives right and left to get one they liked better.
Yeah.
Looking for one they could be satisfied with. They probably were not satisfied.
Right.
They got it.
Yes.
Especially if she came from somewhere where she was like me when I was in Puerto Rico speaking some strange language and wanting to worship some weird god that couldn't do anything for you. Couldn't even hear you. Much less respond to you.
Right.
Randall Lighty wrote a sermon once called Reflections on 100 Sorrows. He was speaking of his first 100 funerals that he had in Raleigh, North Carolina, when he pastored a big church up there. Well, many a pastor could write a book on the subject referring to broken hearts from broken homes. 16 adults injured in a few months, weeks, in Birmingham, Alabama, in one congregation. How many children, I don't know. How many parents and how many grandparents of those people were involved? How many friends in the church were hurt by what took place? If you're like those 7 who struggled to keep your marriage, couldn't make the decision for the marriage partner, for your mate, let me assure you that I know many who have found God's recovery and are living productive lives in Christ their Lord.
Amen.
Please hear that. If you hear all the negative stuff and feel like I'm assaulting you, it is not my intention to do that.
Right, brother. Amen.
On the other hand, if you know you have violated the covenant yourself, do not forget that the same Malachi who was commissioned to write these words from God about how God hates the putting away, that Malachi also wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in verse 2 of chapter 1, I have loved you.
Amen.
And he would say later, I'm God and I change not.
Yeah.
He has loved you. He does love you. He will love
yes.
you. He cannot but love you. He
right.
is God and God is love.
Amen.
And he says in verse 7 of chapter 3, return unto me and I will return unto you.
Right. Amen, brother.
Amen.
What a thing for God to say yes. so clearly we cannot misunderstand.
Yes.
Right.
If you are married, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. I haven't emphasized that. These preachers are not going to let me get by with that. They know that there's a bunch of them here. Why do I have the nerve to be up here? I got caught.
Yes.
It's my responsibility and accountability. But five different verses of Scripture say they have dealt treacherously. And I haven't even emphasized that.
Mm.
What can I do? Go back and start over. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Ooh, aye. The preachers, all of them said aye. They don't get to hear much preaching. There's a third one of these. I've not exhausted any of these, you understand. This third one won't get much emphasis, but it's in the Bible.
Mm.
We should take care of our widows and orphans.
Amen. Right.
Chapter 3 and verse 5, I will come near to you in judgment. And I will be a swift witness against, I must skip some words now, you know that I know they're there, because we've talked about those for emphasis. Maybe I shouldn't skip them. I'm a little scared not to, but maybe God will let me. I will, let me just read it all, because I don't feel right skipping any words in the Bible right now. I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hirelings in their wages. Wow, what a sermon. The widows and the fatherless, and they turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Those who oppress widows, people, step on some big guy. If you've got to do something mean, never, ever do harm to the helpless.
Amen, amen. Brother.
Not just widows and orphans, but anybody
yes.
that is helpless. But God repeatedly talks about this in the Bible.
Right.
It's not a new thing to find it in the last, probably the last book, not just in place, but in time, in the Old Testament. Don't hurt widows and orphans, Ezekiel. We had time, I don't know what time it is, but I would read Ezekiel 22:22-24. People, that's severe. Don't mess over God's give to the family, especially don't hurt widows and orphans. Help them.
Right.
You dare not hurt them. In this case, the hurting of the child would be better, according to Jesus, that you have a millstone hanged about your neck.
That's what he said.
Malachi reports, I will come near to you in judgment, saith the Lord of hosts. None of us needs to be a sinner in the hands of an angry God.
Amen.
That's right.
God wants them. Bless us. But when he gets angry, he's big enough to deal with us. And
yes,
he does not like it when we hurt helpless people.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Don't hurt them. But rather, take care of them. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is it? I'm hearing that all over this front row. To visit who? The fatherless. Oh, the widows and the fatherless.
Yes.
Set in either order you want to.
Yes.
Do something to help them. Don't just don't harm them. Yes. I am not going to hurt nobody. That does not make you saintly.
Amen.
No. No.
Now, that's better than hurting somebody.
Yes.
That's what I told them about when I went left Bonifay to go to Hallelujah. I was going in fear and trembling. Brother Lyon had been there 27 years. And people all over town would ask me, how does it feel to 28 years? How does it feel to follow Dr. Lyon? I said, well, it's better than being followed by a lion.
Amen. Amen, brother. Right on. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
It's not as bad to do nothing as to do harm. But don't brag about yourself. Don't think you're going to heaven on that.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Come on.
On the other hand, the Lord has some words of wisdom, by the way, for widows. And I hope you widows are not going to be mad with me for not passing this advice on to you. But you can read about it in First Timothy 5, 3 to 7, and 9 to 15, I believe it is. Mm. Pretty plain words of wisdom. Now, it's not exactly like widows are totally innocent all the time. But anyway, read that for yourself. God bless you as you do.
Amen.
I know of a house in North Alabama that may be bigger than all seven of the houses that I lived in when I lived with my mom and dad. We moved some, you know, around. Had to. And this big house is probably bigger than all seven of them. Times have surely changed. But the problem is, the mother is gone. The circumstances vary, but that's happening in epidemic proportions. So lots of hurting people.
Yes.
And in fact, all of us probably have some of the pain of that. I certainly do. So does my dear wife. I know one thing. Jesus never quit loving us. He's never quit loving that mother.
Amen.
Because Jesus is in the mending business.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. The Creator also re-creates.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Children of divorce.
That's good, bro.
Yes.
That would be about half of the children in this country.
Right.
Don't you give in to your sorrow. Do not go bad. Don't abandon your studies or your faith because you've been mistreated.
Right.
That's to mistreat your own self.
Yes.
Please understand.
Right.
Why would you perpetuate the hurting of yourself?
Yes.
Because you're disappointed or hurt or angry or mad with somebody who has already hurt you.
Mm.
Don't pursue the problem that way.
Yeah. Right.
The devil was in the breakup, and you're being abandoned in some way. So turn your life away from him to Jesus.
Amen.
And he will make something good out of you through this.
Yeah,
right.
He'll just make something good out of you. He will make something good out of you because this happens to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't know if I have time to.
Yeah,
old breakfast is not until 8 o'clock, Burl. Come on.
Preachers, ain't nobody said that but two preachers.
I say it. You preach it. All time
I'm
to need.
I'm fixing to quit, y'all. Be easy. I'm waiting for the deacons of this church to put a clock up there before I come. Well, I could have a tough.
Well, my wife sees this sermon.
You have no clock.
Your wife sees this sermon. George Bernard Shaw, that's Bernie Shaw.
Yeah.
One of the great playwrights, they say, of the last 300 years. Mm. He lived to be 94 years of age, 1856 to 1950. About a year before he died, he gave one of his rare interviews. And the reporter who interviewed him talked at length about the great man and what he'd known in his lifetime and all the big people he'd known. Artists, statesmen, philosophers, writers, musicians. Sending by preachers. Sunday school teachers. Anyway, he said to Mr. Shaw, which one of these great men with great minds, if you had a chance to talk to them, would you like to talk to? What man do you miss the most? Without hesitation, he said, the man I miss the most is the man I used to be.
Mm.
Well, the problem is not really the man you used to be. It's the man, a woman, a boy, a girl you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is in the transforming business.
Yes.
Amen. It really is, people.
That's right.
Please, it's the honest truth. If we will put ourselves totally into his hands,
amen.
Clean us up, Jesus, and you be my Lord. Yes. I mean the word Lord.
Amen.
over me. Christ can do great things for us.
Yes.
I want us to pause for a time of meditation and reflection. And I want to reiterate these things. If you've been through the tragedy of a broken home, be not dismayed.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever betide. Jesus forgives. He can forgive the offending party. He hasn't given up on them or you if you were the offending party. Malachi didn't make a message to us just to point out a problem. He and the other prophets had the only permanent solution. Made very clear in the New Testament, Jesus forgives.
Amen.
Now that's a complicated thing.
Yes.
Not for Jesus to forgive.
Right.
But for us to draw from Him the strength to be a forgiver ourselves.
Amen.
You're in vast trouble.
Amen.
If you haven't forgiven.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, help me. To be rid of anything that has aught against anybody on the face of this earth or in heaven or hell.
Yes.
Jesus is the great physician. It may be that your heart is broken. It may be that your body even has been injured by your grief and despair. Jesus is the great physician.
Yes.
Above all, He restores souls.
Yes.
Because Jesus loves you.